Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM talk station, 99.1
and 92.3 FM.
No, this is live, Scott.
Oh, boy.
Oh, here we are, sitting here with our coffee. We adore coffee. I'm sorry, wives. That's just the way it is. I cannot live without coffee. I started out drinking tea and never got the addiction until later in life. And then I realized that if I was out of coffee, I could not function at all. And I decided to quit coffee. And Scott, I paid the dentist like $600 to bleach my teeth because I'll never drink coffee again. And I spent $600 on bleaching the teeth. And it was money down the drain because I was back at it a week later, coming back to my first love, coffee. Scott Munns runs the Dark Shot Coffee Shops in Reno. Local folks offering good coffee and foods at three locations. Two of them are in downtown Reno, one across 2nd Street from Aces Stadium in the ground floor of the parking garage right by the river. I get your coffee there. I love that patio. You know, it's overlooking the Truckee River on an early morning. Your other place is 50 Liberty Street. That's in the tower at Liberty and Virginia, correct?
Correct.
And that one is called Dark Shot Eats.
I have a different name because I don't have an espresso machine in there now. I was moving from one location to another, plus building for the third one, so I was moving equipment around. So I opened up, and I will be putting in an espresso machine as soon as I can.
Well, yeah, but Eats, what? Why is it? It's food.
More
there.
Of the food oriented. We do have brewed and cold brew coffee and canned drinks from the cooler, but we don't have the espresso. So I didn't want to brand it as coffee.
Okay.
So that way people would walk up and ask, do you have a latte? Do you have espresso? Do you have this? So it was a little bit of a change. As soon as I get the machine, it's going to be rebranded.
And you mentioned a third, and the third is just east of UNR on Valley Road. It's 2450 Valley Road at Enterprise. Is that the place that used to be, what was it, Bebo? It was something else.
No. This is a whole new building.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, right on the corner of Valley and Enterprise. Horizon property managers and all that, they built a new college apartment building, but anybody goes in, called the Edison. And they purposely built a 500-square-foot space just for a coffee shop. And one of their leasing managers, as it was under construction, came by the ballpark location, saw it, and said, handed a business card to the barista and said, have your owner call me. So we got talking, and I ended up in there in November of last year.
So out of the gate, you open up three locations, and this is your own brand. You're going whole hog into this. This is not a national brand. I thought it was, because you got the clever logos and the you got your own ground coffee, and you got you have a mascot. It's a duck. Why the duck, Scott?
Lucky duckies. Everybody likes ducks. Have you heard of the new craze of Jeeps and ducks or ducks and
yes.
Jeeps?
Yes, yes.
Not that that's related because of it, but I found out afterwards. So I have people saying, oh, you got a duck. So now they're buying a duck.
And you brought me a toy duck. I appreciate that. Yeah. Is that your way of greeting people?
Yeah, it is. A little bit of luck there, too. Everybody likes a lucky ducky.
So how did you first get into the coffee biz? Because you and I have talked, and you have a military background.
Law enforcement.
Law enforcement, yeah. But didn't you say you were in military intelligence?
No, contract. Contract work as a police training advisor.
Okay.
Yeah, I worked for the sheriff's office, retired, went over to Afghanistan as a third-party contractor under the Department of Justice. They have an international training department. And I was attached to State Department people with their police training program for the Afghan National Police. So doing that, we lived on different compounds, traveled around a little bit to the training centers, and we'd always congregate around a coffee pot towards the end of the day.
How was the coffee out there?
It was shipped in. A lot of us had family and friends that would send us coffee. We had a grinder sent
over. You couldn't drink the Afghan coffee?
We usually didn't eat much off the economy just for health and safety issues.
So, oh, I get it.
Yeah, and especially with the water not as filtered and kept up. Everything was bottled water, that most of it that we drank. We did go out to police stations, far-reaching areas, and to be formal, they would make tea, chai, and we would always have that, and then we would worry. But most of the time, we're okay because it was boiled.
So you opened these coffee shops in the Reno area just because you like... Look at him sip right there.
Yeah.
Just because you like coffee?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, secondary is the environment. I like, just as like you said, sit, relax. I can throw a computer up and do some work. A lot of my business plan development was visiting local coffee shops, seeing how they do good, how what I considered bad, but they think is good, and fine-tuning it to my style.
You say, because I saw this online, you say people ask you why you started your first coffee shop, and you said, I get to drink coffee myself all day.
Correct. That's it.
It's kind of like as you're a kid, you think about owning a candy shop so you can eat the candy.
Right.
You thought of
owning I hope I'm a simplistic person. Some people probably say I'm a little wackadoodle, but
no,
I just like
actually,
coffee.
You're my kind of guy, man. I love how old were you when you had your first cup of coffee?
Probably about 10 or 11.
10 or 11. Yeah. Okay. I was a tea guy. I started late. There weren't many tea guys around in the 70s.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I hear about your cheesecakes. Where are they from?
Well, when we were doing it, there's another local vendor here. He works out of Cherry Bomb Catering. He rents some kitchen space, and the name's drafting me right now. He started up his own little cheesecake making. And we were selling it for a while, but then it kind of waned off, so we've switched over to some other kind of options.
Because on the reviews, I keep seeing the people rave about the cheesecakes.
No, he's the guy that makes it, and again, it's been a while, it's skipping my name, makes a very good cheesecake. It just got too much, too sweet, and people were starting to, coming out of COVID, kind of changing from eating anything to being a little more healthy and being outside and all that, so they got away from the cheesecake.
So you sound, of course, like a real coffee connoisseur. What is your perfect cup of coffee? What's your perfect blend? What's your perfect additives?
Well, using our labels now, we call it foncé, which is a translation of dark in French. So I like it. It uses a couple different beans for the blend, and it's roasted it close to a French roast, so very dark. And I put in a couple extra grams of, we do a mixture of 4 to 4.5 ounces of coffee for a 3-liter pot that we have at the shop.
And this is also for the bagged coffee you sell, right?
Right, the bagged stuff, but also what we use it in the shop of what we sell. And with that, like you said, about a 3-liter press pot that if you walk in and say, I want a black coffee or a coffee with cream, we do about 4.5 ounces of coffee. And it's a nice, deep flavor. It took me a couple of years of working with the local roaster, Scott Coleman, over at Glory Cloud Coffee. Working up.
What coffee?
Glory Cloud Coffee.
Glory Cloud Coffee.
Yeah.
Does he just sell to you? I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, he roasts himself for his own, and he sells his own label. Plus, he also roasts for other labels, too. Anybody else that walks in and goes, hey, I want to start selling coffee, and he'll sell it to us.
So is that the secret with your place? Because I am enthralled with your coffee. That's why you're here. It's that you get it from this local supplier, right, which obviously I haven't tasted their coffee before.
Right. No, Scott has his own, again, blends and roasts. He roasts there. But then over a couple of years, I took the beans that he has, mixed some of them, got the flavors I like, and then from there I put my label on it. I'd text him and say, I need X number of pounds of this kind of coffee, whether it's beans or grounds, and he sets it up for me. I go over and pick it up.
Listen, we've had places close left and right. The Reno Gazette Journal just had an article about Starbucks has closed 3 of their area coffee shops in recent times, 2 very recently. Opening 3, Scott, your very first 3 coffee shops, that's kind of brave. Right?
I mean, kind of crazy.
You have people saying you must be nuts and things like this.
A lot.
I'll tell you how nuts you are, my friend. You opened a Dark Shot Coffee directly across the street from a Starbucks, the one I enjoy going to at the ballpark. Anyway, we're yeah. We're going to get into your crazy mind, but folks, do you love coffee? 884-9910. It's coffee talk. I always wanted to do this. 884-9910 or text questions. I'll ask Scott. One more segment with Scott Munns of Dark Shot Coffee Shops here in Reno. 884-9910 on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 11:16.
The golden age of America begins right now.
It's the weekend with John Potter. 99.1 FM and in Lyon County, 92.3 FM News Talk.
John Potter live and local talking with Scott Munns, who has opened three coffee shops in the Reno area. They're called Dark Shot Coffee. Did I get your name right?
Yep.
Okay. I did something right today.
Join the club. I wonder every day, too.
Did you ever, okay, you're talking about, you know, people saying you're crazy and everything for opening three coffee shops. And this is your first time opening like a retail, like a business that's open to the public. You haven't had anything like this before.
No.
Yet you opened three of them right away. What did you not know before that you know now about opening up coffee shops in Reno?
Everything. I contacted Nevada Small Business Development Center at the University Business. They gave me some good information, went to a couple of training classes they had. I had a gentleman whose wife I still deal with the art that we have at the ballpark. He was kind of like a mentor because he had managed some of those. So I talked with a lot of people, but actually doing the business, doing credit cards, no idea on processing and any of that. None of that stuff.
How could
stuff.
You open a shop without knowing all this?
Just learning as I go. Go in, talk to people, and say, hey, how do I do this? They give you some information. You fill out the forms, and then you go with it. Hey, I need to get a CPA. So called up two or three, hey, I'm starting. Are you interested in helping me and build me up? Some of them said yes. Some of them said no. Bookkeeper. I need a bookkeeper. Called up two or three. I saw one over here at Costco. She had a sign on the back of her car, bookkeeper. So I called her up and said, I'm starting. Are you interested? Yes. So then I've changed since then, but that's how a lot of it was, is just look at it, say I need it, and ask questions about it, and go from there.
The Dark Shot coffee shop of yours that I go to, you are right across the street from a Starbucks by the ballpark, the one at the Marriott there. Are you nuts? First-time coffee shop owner, you open just like it is like five steps away from your door to that Starbucks. What? What? Honestly, man, yeah. I'm telling you, you could have picked a softer target.
Well,
you know?
That was actually the second location I opened.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, the first one was in the Renaissance. I was there for 5 years and had a good time there, good people, everybody that supported me there when I started. That's where I learned some info, too. But the Starbucks over there is more of those kiosk types in the hotels. They have coffees, they have foods, but they close at 9:30. I'm open till 3:30. Actually, at first, we were open till 2. Then number two, there's a lot of people that just don't like Starbucks. So they ask the front desk, is there coffee? And they send them over to us.
I do see people walk directly from the Marriott to your shop and then coming out of your shop with coffee. Listen, I loved Starbucks in the beginning of 20 years ago. Every time I had a birthday, Christmas, everybody would, they knew I loved Starbucks, and I had so many gift cards. That's what people bought me as a gift, gift cards. The customer service disappeared. I was telling you off the air about a lot of them. I don't know what the deal is. A lot of them don't accept or honor the stars that you collect. Some of them don't give you the free refills that other ones give you. The one that just closed at Harrah's, no free refills there. Well, I've been a member for decades, and I don't they don't follow the same policies. It's go stuff yourself, you know. And what's your autopsy report about why three Starbucks closed here? Now, you think the one at Harris, which closed, is going to reopen when they have that new development there.
Yeah.
But what about the other two? There was one by Total Wine, and the other one, I think, closed. There's three. I should have read the article. But it said click for subscribers, so the heck with it.
Well, along with Starbucks closing, there's also the other two that were downtown, Midnight Coffee Roasters. They consolidated into one from what I read. Same thing with Truckee Bagel in Virginia and California. They consolidated. I think Starbucks, with their new CEO, is reconsolidating everything, going from grab and go to more of a sit down, back to the sit down type style.
Yeah, I didn't like it when they took the chairs and the tables away from the Liberty one there.
Correct.
But it sounds like a bloodbath, man, entering this business.
Well, they're still opening, too. They're opening a new one down at the Summit Mall. They've had the building already.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But they've got a drive-thru that's going through. So they're closing and reopening, and they're constantly doing that with Starbucks all over the world.
Hey, John, just a...
One of the articles I read in one of the coffee...
Oh, hold on, Scott. Oh, put those headphones on. Craig is in Carson City. He's running the show. Yeah, Craig, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say... there's a new Starbucks at Damani Ranch. No, excuse me. Go up South Meadows Parkway, where the Steak and Shake used to be. They turned that into a Starbucks, and there's actually a block away in front of Sprouts, another Starbucks.
Yeah, so and I just...
Two within a walking distance of each other.
Yeah, and a Sprouts is coming to Carson City, off topic, but... Yeah, okay, thanks for that information, Craig. I think they're missing out on customer service. That's my issue with them. It's just not the same Starbucks, and that's why I walked into your shop, and I'm crazy about Dark Shot. Let's talk about your place. Do you offer gift cards? Do you have an app? Do you have events? Do you have, like, authors and art and music and things like that? Tell us about your shop.
Yep, we have gift cards. We have a loyalty card, the stamp card. I call it the frequent flyer. So buy 10, get the 11th free. We have people that come in when we were at Renaissance with our old stamp card. They'll show up in one of the new shops. Hey, is this still valid? Of course it is. So we'll stamp it and give them a drink. We have art. We're combined at two of the shops. Artist Co-op Gallery of Reno. We display some of their art for sale at the Ballpark Shop and Studio 2035 out on Dickerson. We have some art and greeting cards displayed for sale at our New Valley location. So we're getting into a little bit. We're grab and go, but we also have seating. We want you to sit. We have free Wi-Fi for people to come in, flip up the computer. We want you to sit and chat and talk business. Kind of like when we first met, you walked over, said hi, and we were there for about 30 minutes just chatting about life and in coffee and follow up with coffee.
Yeah, and I had to have you on the show, man. A decent guy, outstanding coffee, and I love the passion. I love people with passion, of course. I love the passion you have for the perfect cup of coffee. It's a wonderful thing. How much, now, besides all the things you have in your shops that you just mentioned, how much is the little rubber duckies?
They're $5.99.
$5.99 for this beautiful black Dark Shot coffee duck, and you pick the duck because ducks are lucky.
Correct.
And you open the shops because you love coffee.
Love it. Since I was 10.
Since you were 10.
Yeah.
Who was letting you drink coffee at 10 years old?
Well, my parents were that, you know, what was the, I'm a boomer generation, so we're there before that.
All right, let me ask you this. What was the coffee? Maxwell House?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maxwell House, MJB, any of those. Pop the can, sniff it as you pop it with the can opener.
See, you know what mine was?
What's a?
Of course, not me, because I wasn't drinking tea then, but my parents. Chock full of nuts.
Oh, my God. I remember that.
Remember chock full of nuts coffee?
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes. Well, and when I was married, my ex-wife, she loved those cans of the international coffee. And all it was is it looked like it was a creamer, but it was powder, coffee, sugar, everything. And you just put the powder in, put the water in, and stir it up, and it was coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so she loved those. She's now switched and moved on to something else, but that was her big thing.
What brands, I mean, aside from your own, I have two favorite coffees right now. Yours, and I think the best coffee to buy in a store is Lily.
Lily.
Lily, L-I-L-Y. Oh.
Yeah, no,
it's European.
That, yeah. I sampled it going around when I was doing the overseas work, sampling at the different international hotels.
French? I don't know.
Yeah, no, they were Italian. And then
Italian, okay.
Sampling theirs. It was fun to go around. When I worked in Afghanistan, we would go to the ISAF base, the international base, and they had a pizza shop there, and they had espresso. So we'd get a latte, and we'd watch the Italian military walk up. They'd get the little demi-tasse cup, two espressos, the double espresso, they put in two sugars and a little bit of cream, stir it up, chug it in one beat, and walk out the door.
Do you make that a dark shot?
Yeah, no, our dark shot is actually a red eye, which is the brewed coffee with two espresso shots. So we nicknamed it dark shot. One of the ladies at Renaissance, and when my daughter worked there, changed the name from red eye to dark shot. So
whatever happened to supermarkets where you grind your own coffee?
Oh, you can still do it.
Really? I haven't noticed.
Costco especially has it. So does
Costco
Sam's.
Does, as you're exiting.
Right,
yeah.
In Sam's Club. Raley's, I go to the one Hunter Lake Mayberry. I believe they still have a machine there.
Really? I'm surprised, yeah. Because in the old AMP days, you would hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, people no. Making, I haven't heard that.
Yeah. Well, we'll grind it for you if you buy a pound or an 8 ounce from us.
Always selling. All right, Scott Munns, it's been a pleasure. Dark Shot Coffee Shops in Reno, three locations. There's one across 2nd Street from Aces Stadium in the ground floor of the parking garage. That I love that one because you can take it out to the deck there. I think it's a Marriott deck. And just sit and watch the river in the early morning. It's a wonderful thing. The other is Dark Shot Eats at 50 Liberty. Scott says he's getting that espresso machine. It's on the way. And the third is by UNR on Valley Road, a new building, 2450 Valley Road at Enterprise. You have a porch there?
Yes.
Oh, good. You have to have the porch in the deck. That's awesome.
Well, we had just now through Art Town, one of the artists from 2035, he was there every Tuesday, Thursday from 10 to 2 painting out on the deck. And we had a lot of people walk up and say
so
hi
cool.
And watch him do it.
Well, you know, you're a man who needs publicity, and I'm so honored to do it for you. Thank you, Scott, for coming by.
Great. Thank you, John.
I'm John Potter, going to have Fox News up next, and then Greg Neft with local news, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 11:31.
Fox News and live FM Talk Radio, KKFT, 99.1 FM Talk. And live right now with your calls.
The Weekend on News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back, my friends. I'm so glad you tuned in. I'm John Potter. Yes, it's true. It's all live and local every Saturday, 9 to noon. I misplaced all of my notes about hot August nights. So get out there and enjoy. It's all, where the heck are they? Just to pass on the oh, there they are. Okay. Here are the details on hot August nights. So many people are in town, and we have so many cars here. I'm missing page six. All right. Well, anyway, there are a lot of cars up here. And enjoy. I would love to hear from you about what your first favorite car was, the car that yeah, on the phone and text line, we're asking right now, what was the first car you ever owned? And the one that is closest to this day to your heart. You know, my beginnings, I loved cars like, you know, we used to love cars, young people in the 60s and 70s. I wanted a Mustang for my first car, but instead I inherited a baby blue 1964 T-Bird was my first car. It was my grandmother's car. She passed it down to my mom. And then mom gave it to me on my senior year in high school. And I loved that car. But it was the T-Bird's daintiest year. It had a Victorian-style parlor seat for a back seat. It looked like it was designed like by Queen Elizabeth. Yet in the dash, the speedometer was like a sideways thermometer. You know, I think that I think that made me want to be a weatherman. I don't know, but I love that car. And it was a good thing that gas was so cheap back then. It was 35 cents a gallon when I first started driving the car. It was my senior year in college. And I filled that car up with all this junk from the R.C. Whitney catalog. Remember that? It was like 200 pages of car gadgets. And I, you know, funny fenders. And, you know, I bought and I hooked up the radio to this panel of colored lights that would bounce to the music, which was quickly stolen from under my dash. I bought the gas pedal shaped like a human foot. I put space food sticks in the glove compartment, you know, to make it cool. And I bought, of all things, on this 1964 old lady style T-Bird, I bought racing stripes from the R.C. Whitney catalog. And I meticulously put this long white racing strip on the right side of this T-Bird. And the howls of laughter at my school, me with that car, wearing my Beetle boots and my 64 T-Bird. And then my second car, it was a Mustang. I bought a used 1973 Mustang Grande. It was the Mustang with the black vinyl padded roof. Remember those? Vinyl roof, black Mustang top. It was a blue. It was a blue car, but it had that black vinyl top. I named it Elvis because it shook, rattled, and rolled for real. It was not Mustang's best year. It took several trips to the shop for one thing or another, and I would pull into the gas station, and basically I would tell them to fill the oil and check the gas. And then finally, there was the day the shop told me the valves had gone bad on this four-year-old car. So I sold it cheap. And then I moved to Reno in 1978, and I got my first very good job here in Reno in 1978. I ended up with two very good jobs, hosting mornings on Top 40 KCBN, the top radio station in town, and then working after my shift in the promotion department at the Sahara Reno. So John Potter with money, that was the beginning. And I went to Pride Dodge. I think they were on Kitski and I think around Vassar. Pride Dodge. I think it was there. And I bought a 1978 Plymouth pre-customized van for camping and my DJ gigs and schools and weddings, you know, made extra money there. And then I bought a brand new 1979 MG Midget. And I took it down Virginia Street every Friday for cruise night. And then in Las Vegas, when I moved there, and I lived in Vegas for 10 years, and I worked for Channel 13 there, I wanted a black Buick Grand National. But they didn't have one in stock. This was 1985 or 86, I think. Didn't have one in stock, but there was this very nice new Nissan 300ZX on the lot. And how I babied that car. I very much love all the cars I ever had. I truly wish I had never sold any of them. But I think we were all in that boat of having to sell or trade so we could upgrade, you know, when we were young. We didn't have the money to collect them, of course. I also believe our generation had this special love for cars. My friends and I, all the talk was always girls and cars. Motor Trend and Car and Driver, we were all over those magazines. And I just don't see that kind of love in the younger generations today. And it's hard for me to relate to and understand that. I feel they're just so missing out. And cars today, they're utilitarian. They're practical. They're sensible. Pragmatic. Hot August nights in 30 years. Are we going to be oohing and aahing over a Honda Civic and a Chevy Equinox? I'm just wondering. And in 40 years, nobody is going to open a barn door and get all excited about a 2018 Kia. It's not going to happen. But that's not what we were looking for in cars. You know, we wanted excitement. We wanted gas gobbling fast engines, and we wanted admiring looks from the girls. So I guess it's what car, you know, from your past did you love the most? I can't play favorites. I loved them all. But I really dearly, well, I loved them all. What's your four-wheeled love? 884-9910, call or text. As always, I'll be very happy to hear from you. Let's go to the phones. Bob is calling from Sparks. Hey, Bob. I'm so glad you called. Good morning to you.
Well, I'm so glad you're there, John. I'll tell you, I look forward to talking to you, and I look forward to your program every weekend. It's nice to hear you doing the news, just to hear your voice, because it reminds me of how funny you were and entertaining when you were doing stuff every day. But the reason I called is I'm a retired school teacher, but for the last 6 years, I've averaged 2 days a week substituting in the Washoe County School District. And believe me, they are really, and all I did was middle school, John, so this cell phone thing is really going to be fun to watch, I'll tell you.
Yeah, we brought that up, I think it was an hour ago. I'm so glad you called about it, though, because, yeah, let me get that story out. They did vote to go ahead with it. Took them long enough, didn't it? But a Senate bill law pushed them along. How do you think it's going to go? Where people cannot, or kids can't use their phones during class?
Well, it just depends on how they do it. Now, there's some schools have already had, the place where you come in and you put your cell phone in this little shoe container, whatever. But what about when they leave the classroom and they go to the next class? I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they're going to police this thing. The other thing is, if you can't bring your cell phone to school even, what some of the more affluent students do, they have two phones. They have one they turn in, and then there's one they keep on themselves. So I'm really anxious to see how this goes.
Well, I have to admit, when I heard about them adopting this policy, my first thought, Bob, was, good luck. Separating the younger folks from their smartphones in Washoe County. That's what they have to do. SB 444. There you go. Now, the principals did voice concerns about, the bill talks about enforcement on this. Well, the principals and the teachers, I'm sure, are wondering, where's this enforcement going to come from? Us?
Exactly.
In the school district, where is that enforcement coming from?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think there's a good answer for that, because they can't even take care of somebody who throws a piece of paper across the room, okay, which is a no-nothing. I mean, that's talk about a nothing burger. The teacher takes care of that. Mm. But we'll see what happens when they try to take those phones away.
All right. Well, they'll enact stuff and then figure it out later. Thanks, Bob. I really appreciate the call. And it still reminds me, in my day, it was the calculators. The calculator was banned in the classroom, and the teacher would say, you're not always going to have a calculator with you in life. Smartphones, folks, that's different. Let's go to Bill in Reno. Hey, Bill, I'm glad you called. Good morning.
Hey, John. As you're talking about hot August nights and cars, for the record, my first car was a Jeep when I was 14 years old. I made one out of two, and I still have Jeeps. So the bottom line there is I've been into muscle cars all my life. Got a lot of friends. We built sleeper cars. Had a 1966 Plymouth Satellite that had rusted out wheel wells. We put a full chassis in that car with a bored out 440 and dual quads, and there wasn't anything on the road that would touch him. But I stand in here working on my wife's Toyota Highlander, and I have some choice words to say to the engineers.
Really?
What kind of a knucklehead would turn an engine sideways so that you can't get to the front of it while you're trying to change a timing belt?
You have to be a complete idiot, number one. It's been a great car. It's got 330 grand on the clock, but it's time for a belt. It's about 100,000 miles on this belt. It's time to change it, otherwise there's big problems. But, you know, with the regulations that they put in the auto industry and the budgets that the engineers are given to build things, they throw it in there any way that they can with no intent to maintain the vehicle at all. And I can't imagine somebody throwing open a barn door and getting excited over anything newer than about 1974. Other than that, I can't even see, I can't get excited about any cars that are made today.
Well, I think that things will be so changed in 40 years that they will probably love something from today. Oh my gosh, look at that, rubber tires. You know, I don't know.
Oh yeah, you could be onto something there.
Yeah.
And I'm not into electric at all. I don't wish any ill will on Elon Musk and any of them, but they talk about drag racing electric cars because they have so much torque. That would be I would never go to a drag race again, because if you don't have the sound, you don't have a race.
Right. It'd be like a silent movie. All right.
Yeah, if they're Bill, not thanks. Loud and red.
Yeah. Kind of pathetic that a lot of electric cars are adding this artificial engine noise to it. But what you said about, oh, they put the engine sideways and I have to do this to just change the oil, that's not a new thing. I remember in my time, there were some Chevys and things where if you wanted to change a spark plug, you had to, like, lift the engine. There were cars like that.
The 77 Monza was, the 77 yeah. Monza with the, I think it was a 272 or 273 V8. Most of the guys I knew would just take a hole saw and punch holes through the inner fender well and then put plugs in them so you didn't have to do that again.
My gosh.
But yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right. I remember when that car came out. It was, it was just absolutely nuts.
You make me want to buy the latest car and driver. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it, Bill. Thank you much. Good call from Sparks. Okay, we're going to take our last break here. Phone line's open. Thanks for the texts. Here's another one. Old VWs, John. 19. Let me get my glasses. Hold on a second. 1950s, they were super cheap, but not now. Man, I have the old folks audience like in my hand here. 11:51 is our time. Last break coming up. Time to call is right now. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 11:52.
99.1 KKFT.
This is what I think.
Talk that matters most. FM Talk, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
It's 11:55 live and local. I'm John Potter. Current temperature 82 degrees in the Reno area. Checking the roads, we have a injury crash. It happened just, 10 minutes ago. It's in the Silver Springs roundabout. That's with Highway 50 and 95 alternate. That is the roundabout where this has happened to me 3 or 4 times. If I want to stay on 95 alternate, and I go to this roundabout, I always end up on 50. And I always turn around. I don't know what it is about that roundabout, but it fools me every time. I'll get it down. I'll figure it out. But anyway, there's an injury crash there, and it looks like a problem. And that roundabout, that's the thing about roundabouts. It's going to affect now 95 alternate and 50 at Silver Springs. I want to wrap up by telling you about Hot August Nights. I found page 6 of my notes. For the first time in its 39-year history, the university is the main venue for Hot August Nights, which I'm interested in seeing how this works out. Seems a little strange to me, but it could be great. They estimate about 6,000 classic cars are in town right now. They are free to see and enjoy at UNR, the Peppermill, Atlantis, Victorian Square, downtown Reno, and Virginia City. Outside concerts are at the University, the Peppermill, Atlantis, and the Nugget. Today, there are show and shines along with judging and awards in Virginia City, downtown Reno's J Resort, and Victorian Square. And today's drag races, they had drag races yesterday. I heard them. Today, they'll be held again at the Nugget. And had somebody ask me, you know, with Nevada's new emission laws, will this be the last Hot August Nights? And the answer is no. The cars at Hot August Nights, they are all, they have to be like 1979 and older for to be in Hot August Nights. And those cars are exempt in the new laws. It doesn't affect them at all. And it was funny, and I mentioned this at 9, because people are asking kind of the same question about this year's Burning Man, which, oh my gosh, that's coming soon. Will this be the last one? Because the organization is selling $950 tickets. I don't know what kind of tickets these are, but are you kidding me? $950 tickets. And I think if people boycott and that it could be the last one, I think we're going to have a lot of renegade burners just organize a replacement and go back to the basics, you know, the real ones, where there was no money on the grounds allowed at all. No cash exchanges, no million-dollar RV setups. Maybe it needs a good, what we say, flushing to change Burning Man. Anyway, I had so much fun today. I hope you did, too. Thank you for tuning in. I'll talk to you again doing news and traffic on the weekdays 9 to noon. And thank you, Craig and Carson City, for running everything. I'm John Potter. Love you all. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk.